Take your Bibles, please, with me. If you have them, I hope you do. The book of 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We'll continue to go verse by verse through the Word of God together here. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We've got three verses on our plate. We're starting this chapter anew. Great chapter in the Word of God. Great verses here before us today. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. In verse number 1, would you look at it with me? The Bible says, "We then, as workers together with Him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For He saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed." I want to preach to you this morning about now is the accepted time. The Bible tells us now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. I want to tell you about three things this morning that it is the accepted time for right now. The first one would be found in verse 2. It's set aside by a parenthesis. The whole verse is a parenthesis, sort of inserted between these verses that speak about the ministry and the lives of Christians that have a duty and an obligation to serve God. And so the parenthesis is set there. I want to deal with that first. I want to tell you, now is the accepted time to get saved. Now. You say, well, we all know that. Do you really understand the majority of people that get witnessed to and you tell them about their need of Christ and they need to get saved? Normally, most of them, usually, they don't say, "I'm not interested, I'll never get saved, I don't want to hear that anymore." We have more and more of that as the time goes by, but that's usually not the answer you get. They'll usually say something like, "Well, maybe later. I'll let you talk to me about Christ and the gospel another time. Just not right now. I'm busy." I don't know how many times we've knocked on a door or talked to a soul and they were just occupied with things of the family or things of their job or things of their life, or maybe they were cooking supper, or maybe they were having to tend to the children, or they had some activity in the backyard, and you try to introduce to them the gospel of Jesus Christ and they're headed for hell, but they say, "I don't have time for that right now." But here's the sad truth. Why in the world you would make time for everything else and not make time for your soul? Makes no sense at all. I mean, the children one day will grow up and be gone. I mean, there's plenty of time to play with the children. I mean, there's plenty of time to enjoy your job and the things that it provides. Yet there's plenty of time to work in the backyard and do those projects that you put on the back burner. There's plenty of time for that. There's plenty of time to go watch the reruns of the show that you're interested in. But there's not plenty of time for your soul, you see. Because what God says is all you have is right now. And He says, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Why do I say, let me give you a few reasons why I say now is the accepted time to get saved. The first reason that I would say is because God is in a mood to listen to you. Have you ever not been in the mood to listen to somebody? I know maybe you're not like me, but maybe you always answer your phone. I always don't answer my phone. A lot of times I don't want to talk to anybody. Or maybe I'm busy. Maybe I've got something else to do. Did I just say something wrong? I mean, grumbled there a little bit. But there's sometimes, I remember a preacher said one time, he said, answering the phone is a prerogative. It's not something you have to do. Sometimes you don't want to talk to people. You know that God is in the mood right now to hear every sinner pray? Right now. You say, how do you know that? Look at verse 2 again. God says, for He said, "I have heard thee in a time accepted." He says, I'm listening to you. I'm listening to man. He's not just listening to Jews. He's not just listening to Abraham pray. He's not just listening to the seed of David. He's not just listening to those Jewish disciples and those people walking by the shores of the Sea of Galilee. But in this time that we live in this accepted time, God has His ears wide open listening to sinners. I would say that means people ought to take advantage of that. Because He has an open door. He's listening. He said, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. You say, well, that's a big word. I don't like that. Let's change the Bible. Let's not change the Bible. Let's not change the Bible and just learn something at church. That would be good. I mean, you never heard of a child that would go to the fourth grade and they introduce a new vocabulary word and they say, well, I'm not interested in that. Just give me words I already know. That would be a most foolish exercise, wouldn't it? The word sucker is a wonderful word. And people say, well, it means to help. Well, it does, but it means more than that, or God would have said help. To succor someone means that there's a person over here in need. And yes, you're going to help them, but the connotation of this word is, all you have to do is look it up in the dictionary. That's one of the best things my father ever did to me growing up. I'd ask him a word, he'd say, go look it up in the dictionary. And I hated that. I hated that, amen, more than I hated anything else. Go look it up in the dictionary. You know why? He was insulting my intelligence. And my laziness. So I didn't like that. Go look it up in the dictionary. He said, you look at it in the dictionary, sucker. What does that mean? It doesn't mean just to help. It means you see somebody in need. Listen now. And you run to their aid. You run to them to help them. In other words, it's a very imperative thing on your heart that you get to. You know, God says, I'm ready to run to you. I'm ready to meet your need. I'm ready to help you in your plight. I'm ready. I'm listening to you, and I can run to you and help you. But you've got to understand that today is that day. And so many people aren't interested in God today. They say, well, when I get older, maybe I will. I've heard all the excuses sinners can make. I remember one time I got through the gospel with this man, and I got through all the scriptures about how I need to get saved. He said, I know I need to do that. He said, but you know what? I need to get some things straight in my life before I come to Jesus. I said, you missed the point, man. You can't get your life straightened out. You can't. God just wants you to come now. He wants you to come just like you are, with all of your baggage, with all of your sin, with all of your problems. He's not wanting you to get ready to come to Him. He's ready for you to come to Him now. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow. Not tomorrow. Hold your finger there. Look at Hebrews chapter 3. It is so interesting that God says in this dispensation that we live in, He's listening to all sinners. This is the day of the church. This is the day of salvation. This is the day of the New Testament. This is the day of the grace of God and the gospel to all peoples freely given. This is an unusual time of human history that God's listening to all men. But He says, you got to listen right now. But watch this. Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3, the Bible says in verse 7, wherefore as the Holy Ghost saith, look at it, today, not tomorrow, today, if ye will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. Look at verse 15. While it is said today, not tomorrow. Today, if ye will hear His voice. Again, He repeats, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. What a contrast. You've got God that says, right now I'm listening to you. And this is the day of salvation. This is the accepted time. And not only that, I'm speaking to you. I'm trying to reach out to you. And you need to respond today. Do not harden your heart and say you'll do it tomorrow or another time. Because that another time may never come. You may not be interested in what God is saying another time. Oh, could we go down the halls of history, even through the examples of the Bible, and maybe bring up Pharaoh and ask Pharaoh, shouldn't you have listened the first time God spoke to you? When God came to you through Moses and Aaron, should not you have listened instead of hardening your heart when God tried to speak to you and show you what He was doing? And yet you didn't listen. And by the time you got around to listening, the plagues had hit and the tragedy had struck because you just didn't want to listen to Moses today. You didn't want to listen to God today. No, not today. Get out of my faith. Everything's going all right for me right now. Don't wait till your house is a shamble before you start listening to God. Don't wait for your life to be ruined before you want to hear God. Today is the day. Now is the accepted time. This is the day of salvation. This is the day God wants to succor you and to run to your aid. This is the day He's listening. You know, that would not just be true about lost people that need to come to Christ and be saved. That's true about saved people. You know, God speaks to saved people and deals with saved people's hearts. I tell you what, one of the most dangerous things you can ever do as a child of God is when God speaks to you, just turn it off. You know, some of the great revivals that I was in when I was a boy was an evidence of how God's people responded now when God told them to do something. I can remember like it was yesterday in that old church. And people were at the altar and revival was breaking out and the invitation went for hours. And you thought it was about to stop and then God would deal with some sister's heart or some brother's heart about something they had an ought against somebody else. And they did something about it. Right then, now. They got it right. I remember my blessed mom before that meeting started. God spoke to her heart to just for some reason go to the organ and sing a song. And she got up and did that now, immediately. And I tell you what, the Spirit of God broke out in that service and people started getting right and God started working and people started getting saved. Why? It's important that you do now what God said. You know, sometimes in an invitation, God speaks to your heart and God says, you better do something about this now. You know how many things that God spoke to somebody about in a moment of time and they forgot about it and it wrecked the rest of their life because they didn't respond to God now. Today. That was the accepted time. Why is now the accepted time to get saved? Because you may die and go to hell before you get another chance. You say, preacher, you're trying to scare people. You're right. Why wouldn't I try to scare somebody that's going to hell? Why wouldn't I try to do everything in my power to persuade them to get off that road? You don't have it. Look, none of us have tomorrow. We only have today. We only have now. You say, well, I'm 20 years old or I'm a young person. All you've got is now. You say, well, you're saying tomorrow won't come. Maybe not. A lot of people never saw another tomorrow. I don't know why in the world, and I preach it. I'll keep preaching it until I have breath. Why people in this world are afraid of a virus, but they're not afraid of going to hell. Now is the day to get serious about your soul. Now we should have people flocking to the churches and flocking to the altar and flocking to the preacher and begging God for salvation as person after person's fear of death. And people are going out into a crisis eternity. Well, get saved now, and you won't have to worry about the death part. Now is the accepted time. Will you trust Christ in time? It's been said that the gospel is only good news if it gets there in time. It's too late after death. 1 second after death, it's too late. The people on September the 11th that died in those tragedies didn't have a September the 12th. Wonder how many of them went to hell because they didn't do something now. They didn't do when it was in an accepted time. And contrary to the doctrines of men and Catholic and Orthodox theology, which is corrupt and unscriptural and biblical, there is no purgatory. If you don't do something now while you're alive, there's no hope for you after you die. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Can I give you a personal illustration? in Romania. When we were missionaries in Romania there, and I had a lot of big ideas, tried to do a lot of things. And one big idea I had was I was going to take a sawmill over. And I did that. Because Romania has such vast forests and trees that have never been tapped into. And so my realization was we were going to use this sawmill to build churches and to even employ some of the, because, you know, they made about $200 a month, employ some of these men that wanted to serve God. I said, man, we can put this sawmill to use for God. And so we shipped it over there and finally got it out of customs and all that. And we start to put it to work. And then I found out the government, you know, with that communist mentality, they said even if you own property, you own land, the government owns the trees. How would you like the government to tell you that the trees on your property don't belong to you? Well, that's where things are headed with socialism. They're not your, they're the people's. You don't have any private property, you see. Well, that's what they said in Romania. So I got a problem. So what I did, I put this sawmill in storage, and it was worth thousands of dollars. So I had to watch it, man. They'd steal everything in Romania. So we had some night watchmen there, and then they had some people that worked with it in the day. And I employed a young man. I felt real sorry for him. He was down on his life and had a lot of problems in his family. And I employed him, and he wasn't saved, didn't know the Lord. And I began witnessing to him, and I talked to him about, of course, he was born Orthodox. I tried to talk to him about, he came to the conclusion that the Orthodox Church wasn't right because the priest never cared about his soul. The priest never talked to him about God. The priest never tried to show him anything from the Bible, you know. And I said, okay. And so I started witnessing to that guy. And the priest started getting involved, trying to keep us away from that young man. He's about 20, 30 years old, something like that. Just a desperate young man. I was paying him to watch that sawmill. Now, I forget, I witnessed to him real heavy one day, and I said, hey, man, you need to get saved. You need to trust Christ. And he said, well, I understand what you're saying. The gospel finally clicked with him. He said, I understand what you're saying. He said, I'm just not ready to do that right now. I mean, I'll be turning my back on, you know, my culture and the society, and that priest keeps talking to me, and I just don't know what to do, and I'm not going to do that right now. The next morning, one of the young men that was in our church that had been working in the day, he went to the building where the place of the sawmill was, and he found the night watchman dead. He was dead. And we're talking about a 20, 30-year-old man. I don't really know what happened to him. We speculated what may have happened to him. He was dead. He went out to eternity. And I thought of that story, and I said, Lord, would you please help me to remember that story, that I can tell people that story, people that don't think they're going to die, people that think they have a tomorrow, and yet they have the opportunity to get the gospel. God sent a missionary halfway around the world to talk to that young man, to try to save him from hell. And he said, not interested right now. And that was his last day. Why is now the accepted time? Because you don't have a tomorrow. You may die before you get another chance. Why is now the accepted time? Because Jesus may come. Jesus may come before you get another opportunity, and you're going to be left behind, and all you're going to be left behind with, amen, is the Antichrist and the tribulation period and the strong delusion that God's going to send. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 2, or chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians says God will send them strong delusion. They should believe a lie that they all might be damned who believe not the love of the truth that they might be saved. You need to get saved before Jesus comes, and you don't know when that's going to happen. Now is the accepted time. People are getting really bent out of shape. Preacher, this is the last days. I believe it's the last days, but not because of the virus. I believe it's the last days and not because of the rioting. I believe it's the last days and not because the Democrats are trying to present. That's not why I believe it's the last days. I don't believe it's just the last days because we've got our country in a mess. Countries have always been in a mess. I believe it's the last days Because the Bible tells you about those last days of those perilous times, and it gives you a list of them. But for our people that are, we have some people that are even changing their eschatology. I don't think if you know this today, we have even Bible-believing Christians now, because it's getting so bad in their mind, they are changing their beliefs about the coming of the Lord and say, well, maybe we'll go in the tribulation period, and, or at least part of it. And let me tell you something. It is not even bad yet. You're not living when it's bad. You're living in an accepted time. You're living in a day of salvation. You're living in an easy time. It's the easiest time in the world to come to Jesus Christ. There's no Antichrist on the throne of this world. The spirit of Antichrist is working, but the Antichrist is not on the throne of this world. All you have to do is read, and I would ask you to even do it. Go home. If you think it's so bad, you need to go home and read Revelation chapter 8 and 9, and you'll be glad and you'll thank God how easy you've got it in this day. This is easy day. God's made it so easy that the whole world can come to Christ before it gets difficult and hard. You read through those trumpet judgments, and you find out when it really gets hard, God says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to burn a third of all the grass up and all the trees, a third of them on the whole planet, gone. Now, that does a lot of things. You're going to have some animals dying right there. You're going to have some people not being able to find wood to heat themselves through the winter. You're going to have a lot of things happen right there. A third of all the green grass in the whole world die. A third of all the trees burn up. Then he sends that second trumpet. And you know what he says he's going to do? He's going to send something down into the sea, and a third part of all the creatures in the sea are going to die, because a third part of the sea is going to become blood. Can you imagine a third part of the Atlantic Ocean and a third part of the Pacific Ocean becoming blood? You can't even imagine that. You talk about an environmental tragedy. I mean, it ain't going to be some little sea otter or say, hey, man, these things, these little birds and all these little worms or whatever they're worried about, these dirt daubers or whatever, they stop all types of projects because, oh, we're going to kill some little insect. A third of everything in the ocean dying. You think about that. You talk about a tragedy. You talk about turning the world upside down. You live in the easy day. You know what you ought to do? You ought to get to God as fast as you can. Because you don't want to go through that time. Jesus may come. You know what the Bible else says? The Bible says there's going to be a great star fall from heaven. That's just the third trumpet. And then if it wasn't enough to do that to the salt water, the oceans, he's going to do that to the fresh water. And he's going to make a third part of all the rivers and all the fresh water become bitter, and people are going to start dropping dead. Can you imagine a third part of the fresh water supply in the whole world being stopped and killing people? Virus, my foot. A third of the fresh water gone? And people dying because they're drinking it? And that's just the third trumpet. And the fourth trumpet, you know what he says he's going to do? The fourth angel sounds. And a third part of the sun was smitten. A third part of the moon. A third part of the stars. And they're darkened. A third part. Everything of the sun, the moon, the stars. Darkness. You talk about people freaking out? When it's supposed to be sun shining, and they only have, and they lose a third part of their sunshine in a day. And they look up in the night, and there's only a third part of the moon that's up. A third part of the moon stopped up there. And that's only the fourth trumpet. Things really pick up in the fifth trumpet. Because he says, woe be unto the people that inhabit the land for these next trumpets that are fixing sound. You thought all this was bad. These are just plagues. You know what the fifth trumpet is? Things start coming up out of hell. Creatures start coming up out of the bottomless pit, and they got tails of scorpions, and they start tormenting, stinging people. I wonder how that'll play into the vampire movies and the UFO people. Creatures coming up out of the bottomless pit, tormenting people. You know what people do? They want to die, and they try to die, and they can't die. Fire and brimstone were going out of these creatures' mouths, and they look hideous. And you know what? You know what God would say to some of those people right there? You should have remembered that back there now was the accepted time. You said, preachers, that's going to happen, guys. Jesus is coming. We're in the last days. We believe that. What do? You get to Jesus, that's what you do. If this world is shook up with all that's going now, what are they going to do? If footmen weary them, what will horsemen do? What are they really going to do when it gets awful and bad, according to the Bible? Now is the accepted time. You better get to Jesus. You know why else now is the accepted time to get saved? Because getting saved as soon as possible, getting saved now, will deliver you from a lifetime of scars in the future. You know, I've never met anybody that says, you know, I wished I'd have sowed my wild oats before I got saved. I never met anybody that said, man, I just wish I had a few more years to run the roads and run the streets and live it up before I got saved. Never met anybody like that. I met a lot of people that said, man, I wished I'd have got saved a long time before all this happened in my life. Now is the accepted time. And he says it emphatically twice in our verse, in verse 2. Behold! Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Trying to get their attention. It's now is the accepted time. You may not be interested again. You may not hear the preaching again. You may not feel the Spirit of God move in your heart like that. To that degree again, you need to get to God now. But that's for the lost. You know, now is the accepted time not just to get saved, but now is the accepted time for something else. Would you look at our text again, please? 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I go back to verse 1 now. He says in 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 1, we then as workers together with Him beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. In other words, because God has saved you. Verse 2. In other words, because God has accepted you and God has heard you and God has run to your aid because of what He has done for you, you need to make sure that you get busy right now not to waste the grace of God that He's bestowed upon you. Look at it again, verse 1. We then as workers together with Him beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. How many of God's people are wasting their life? They're planning on maybe doing something for the Lord later. They're planning maybe on repaying the Lord or trying to or appreciating His grace. But right now, their life is about them. And the grace of God that's bestowed upon them is in vain. In other words, God's not getting anything out of their life. Now is the accepted time for you not to waste what God has bestowed upon you. Now is the accepted time for our lives not to be filled with vanity. He says that we receive not the grace of God in vain. In other words, listen, church, God should get something out of your life. But if He's not getting something out of your life now, when will He ever get something out of your life? If God does not have a preeminent place in your life now, when will He ever have a preeminent place? If God doesn't mean something to you now, if you're not running to God now in these days to trust Him, to love Him, to spend time with Him, to pray to Him, to beseech Him for help, then when, tell me when, will we ever do that? I think today and now would be a great time for the church to run to Jesus as well and stop twiddling our thumbs and our worthless Christian lives, wasting the things that God has brought bestowed upon us. God ought to get something out of your life. What's He got out of it? You say, well, preacher, not really going the way I want it to go. Well, just give Him everything right now. You know, God can never get anything out of your life if you don't give your life to Him. I'm convinced that there are a host of saved people that will not give their lives to Jesus. And I don't understand it. After He listened to me, after He succored me, after He saved me, after all that He did for me, why would I let all that be in vain? Lord, here's my life. Take it and use it. I don't want to live for nothing. I don't want to go through life and have a house and a car and a family and punch the clock and then retire and live and die like a dog and it never did matter. I want God to get something out of my life. And what I'm trying to tell you, if He doesn't get something out of your life now, I doubt He'll ever get something out of your life. You'll just keep putting Him off like all the sinners keep putting Him off. Well, you know, when I reach a certain level, I'll start giving, or when I reach a certain point of understanding and education and maturity, I'll start witnessing, or I'll start going, or I'll start getting involved. You know, when things get settled down and maybe the kids got it, maybe church will mean more. No. Now, right now, is the accepted time for us not to live in the vanity of our lives. Is God getting something out of your life? He saves you for a purpose. He saves you for a work. You know why else now is the accepted time for us not to waste the grace of God? Not just because He saved us and what all He did for us. But look again at verse 1. Would you look? This is a great verse. He says in 2 Corinthians 6, 1, we then as workers together. What's the next two words? Now, if you don't have a King James Bible, that's probably out, but it still belongs there. We are workers together with Him. You know why we ought not waste our lives? You know why we ought to get busy for God right now? Because God says, hey, I want you to work with me. Has anybody ever offered you a job you didn't deserve to have? I mean, they said, you know, we had one of our church members come to me not long ago and said somebody offered him this extravagant job paying six figures. And they said, Pastor, I don't even have education. I said, well, praise God. Praise God for the privilege. Praise God for the offer. Now, you know, when you read Paul's writings, you know what he'll write so many times? He'll write about his fellow laborers. He'll write about his fellow workers, and he'll always put it, because I really think the Apostle Paul counted it a privilege to work with all those saints of God, and he loved them. And oh, what a blessing it was. I mean, Aquila and Priscilla and Timothy and Titus. And I mean, he had some people that were so dear to him in his life. And he would write their names. These are my fellow workers. These are my fellow laborers, he would say. I get to work with them. What a joy. Have you ever got to work with somebody? He said, man, what a privilege. I tell you what, if you're digging a ditch or you're doing some hard work and you get to link up with somebody that's stronger than you and faster than you and better than you, you appreciate being able to work with them because they cover up the part you don't do. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Maybe you don't know what I'm talking about. If you got a call, you know, we've got somebody in this church that has the privilege of such a good job that the FBI has to come visit their pastor. Did you know that? Did you not even know that? I can't talk to you about it because it's a secret. Yeah. And what a privilege to work with a security clearance that's that high. Man, I've got security clearance with the government. What a privilege. Yeah. But you know what God says? God says, look, I want you to go to work with me. I want you to work with me. God. God wants you to work with Him. I tell you what, you would think every Christian in the world would drop whatever they were doing and said, I tell you what, I'm leaving it. I got a better job. I get to work with a better crew. I got somebody, amen, that'll cover up every mistake I made. He'll do a million times more. I get to work with God. I get to work with the one that created heaven and earth. I get to work with the one that never makes a mistake and always knows what to do, and I just get to sit there and do whatever he says. Do this. Yes, sir. And I know it's always going to work out right, work out the way he wants it to. Why wouldn't I want to work with God? Why would I enamor my life with working with a bunch of losers in the world when I can work with God? I'm just trying to tell you, God's people, it's Now is the accepted time. Why? We get to work with God. You are born in a unique situation, a unique day, a unique circumstance. And we get to work hand in hand with God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Ghost. Why wouldn't we engage our prayers and engage our lives and our words and our deeds? Why do we waste the now that we have for vanity when God says, come work with me? You know, he repeated that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He says, we're laborers together with God. With God. And he went on to say in that same chapter, he said, one day we're going to stand before the Lord and there's going to be a judgment time there. And the fire is going to try our work of every man what sort it is. I'm just asking, are you working with God? Look, if you're not working with God, now's the time. You know how some of you can work with God? You say, how can I go to work with God? Well, it probably starts with just agreeing with Him. You can't work with somebody you don't agree with. Anybody ever had a job and you worked with somebody and you had two opposite ideas? You can't work with anybody like that. And you're trying to nail it and they're pulling out the nails. You can't work with anybody like that. The first thing we need to get on God's page instead of trying to get God on our page. We are workers together with Him. And that means that my life has a reason and a purpose. Just agree with Him. Just do whatever He wants you to do. Labors together. What a privilege. How can I labor with God? Well, you could probably talk to Him more. You might want to say, Lord, do you want to do anything at my workplace? I know you put me there not just to make money, but for a reason. Am I working with you good where I'm at? You know what, when you talk about working with somebody, you know what you can do? You can be on time. You know, you don't work with somebody very well if you're never on time. Matter of fact, you know, I don't feel sorry for people that get fired from job after job after job because they can't be on time. If you can't be on time, you don't deserve to work with anybody. Somebody help me. I don't want to preach on laziness and all that today. Expect you to be on time. You're going to work with me. You're going to be on time. Can you imagine? You're getting six figures and you got the privilege of getting this job and you don't even have education. You go to this job and you can't even go get on time to the job. Can you imagine? I tell you what, I bet you I won't get any more visits from the FBI man if the guy in our church is late all the time to work. Right? Don't have time for that mess. Christian, are you on time with God? You say, what do you mean? Are you in the prayer place on time? Are you in the church on time? Is your heart prepared and ready on time? When you get up, are you on time giving Him the first part of your day? When you go to bed, are you on time giving the last part of your life? We're laborers together with God. Now is the accepted time. Don't be late. Don't be late with God. I am so glad that I gave God the best years of my life. I gave Him my youth. Don't be late with God with your life. Don't wait till He gets the ashes or the residue of your life. Give Him the best years of your life. Be on time with God. You get to work with God. And you need to do it now. Now is the accepted time that we can not waste our lives, but God can get something out, not just because we get to work with Him, but because time's running out to do these things. Would you go to Romans chapter 13 real quick? Romans chapter 13. Yes, Jesus is coming soon, and Christian, whatever you're going to do, whatever you're going to be for God, don't do it too late. Do it right now. If you have anything, and look, I'm not saying that I'm prophesying anything here, but I'm just trying to tell you, if you've got any dreams or hopes or plans or aspirations, or if there's anything you want to do for God or something you've left undone in your service to the King of Kings, wait no longer, delay no longer, because the time is running out. You've got to do now what you need to do. Romans 13, the Bible says in verse number 11. Romans 13, 11, and that knowing the time, that, what does it say? Now. I know the time. Now It is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is our salvation nearer than when we believe. Right now, he says it again two times in the verse. Wake up! Wake up! Quit going through life in a dream. Wake up and link up your life with God Almighty and do something for His glory. Now is the accepted time. One day we're going to wake up in heaven, church, and we'll look back and say, man, I blew it. I didn't take the now I had. Didn't do anything with it. Didn't do anything with it. Go back to our text. I'll give you one more thing and I'll conclude this morning. Now is the accepted time to get saved. Now is the time not to waste the grace of God that's been bestowed upon your life. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, the Bible says in verse 3, I included it on purpose because it comes right nestled between this verse about now is the accepted time. He says, verse 3, giving no offense in anything that the ministry be not blamed. Now is the time to give no offense. And let me tell you what that means. Now, we live in a day where people are offended very easily. Let me tell you, first of all, what this does not mean. The Bible says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. That's Psalm 119, 165. We live in a day where people are offended at the Word of God. He's not talking about that. He's talking about your life offending people, not the Word of God that you're speaking to them offending people. As a matter of fact, when Jesus walked upon the face of the earth, and you can read it in Matthew chapter 13, verse 21, they were offended because of the Word. Jesus said that. And people are always going to be offended by the Word. I'll tell you very frankly, I am not going to lose one bit of sleep at this world getting offended by me saying something in condemnation of sin that God says in His Word. I'm not going to lose any sleep by it. If they get their feelings hurt, if they think that I'm some type of phobic, whatever phobic they want to put on me, it doesn't matter. If they want to go walk on the other side of the street or do tweets or all that, they're not putting anything on my Facebook because I ain't got one, praise God. They're not going to be, whatever they want to say, whatever they want, I'm offended, that preacher, that mean preacher. Say what you want to say. If I said the Word of God and you're offended, it's your problem, because Jesus said that Word of God offends people, and there's nothing wrong with the Bible. There's something wrong with people. And not just with those lost people either. Not just with those scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites either. Jesus offended His own disciples with His words. And many of them left Him. That's in John chapter 6. Not only does the Word of God offend people. You know what also offends people? Just Jesus. Just Jesus. The Bible said in Matthew 13, 57, said that they were just offended at Jesus. They were offended at Him. There's something offensive about Jesus. Now, not the Jesus of the Italians or the Jesus of the Catholics. Not the Jesus of the Mormons. But the Jesus of the Bible is offensive to people. You know why? Because He's holy, He's pure, and He's righteous. And the world gets offended at that type of Jesus. The Bible says He's a rock of offense. Look. There's a reason why they don't want you to pray in Jesus' name. There's a reason why they don't want you to sing to Jesus. There's a reason why they want you to quit speaking of His name and telling of His gospel and giving of His word. But hopefully, I probably need to do this now too. I've got a whole series of things I've got on my computer that I want to get out on the radio, out in the public, that Jesus said that if the whole world knew that He said it, they'd hate His guts forever. That's right out of the Bible. Just take what He said. People don't have no idea who Jesus is. If they got to know Him, they'd be offended by Him. They get offended by the Word of God. They can get offended by Jesus. You know what else they get offended by? The world gets offended by the cross. He says that in Galatians chapter 5, verse 11. He talks about the offense of the cross. Oh, we need to lift high that cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Never quit telling about that blood of Jesus. I tell you what, there's a reason why, church. You think, well, what's holding a sign going to do? You get out there and hold a sign and watch what happens. I mean, just hold a sign. If you had something that said Budweiser, nobody even pay you any mind. You hold a sign that says the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin and see what happens. Amen. Now, in some of these parts, we get some good honks, amen, and some fist bumps, and praise God for that. But take that same sign and go downtown Chicago. Amen. Well, just take the same sign and go downtown Birmingham or probably downtown Huntsville. I know I did it in downtown Charleston, South Carolina, and you never saw such. I asked a guy one time, I said, what's your problem? Why are you so mad? I'm just holding a sign. Yeah, but it's what it says. I said, you got that right. In other words, you don't like me. It's offense of the cross. It's that preaching of Jesus. It's that lifting up the cross of our Savior and that blood and that sacrifice that was given for sin. The world is offended at the cross. He's not talking about that in this text. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about our lives. You know, Jesus went to extremes that his life would not be offense to someone else. He said in Matthew 17:27, Peter, you messed things up, but go down there and get a coin out of that fish's mouth and give it to them, lest they be offended. Paul said in Acts 24:16, he said, I exercise. He said, what did he exercise? His body? No. He exercised his conscience. He exercised his conscience that he would be void of offense toward God and man. He did not want his life to be a stumbling block to anyone else. The Bible says, listen, 1 Corinthians 10:32. Give none offense. You know what he says? To the Jews or to the Gentiles or to the church of God. Don't offend. By the way your life is, don't offend. You know what's happening today? We have a lot of Christians that are wasting their time. And now is the accepted time for God's people to quit offending the rest of this world by the wickedness in their life. He says, giving none offense that the ministry be not blamed. This whole book of 2 Corinthians is about the ministry. And you know what will destroy the ministry? When people's lives are offensive that name the name of Jesus Christ. I get so disgusted. You'll see another one of these famous preachers that gets on there and there's some picture there. There's some story there. And it makes every person that tries to talk about Jesus look like the same charlatan or the same wicked person they are. And I know you can't control that, but church, you can control you. And it's, you know what the accepted time is? It's time for all of us to get right with God and get clean and live holy lives because somebody's watching you. And they know what you're looking at. And they know where you're going. And they know somebody's watching you. And if there's ever been a time for us to have that reputation for Christ that we need and have clean lives and not offend others with our dirty lives, it's today. Can I give you an illustration? Last week, there's a lady out here, the middle of the day, parked at the church. And she just, I don't know what she's doing. Stayed there for a long time. Brother Gibson, being the watchdog that he is for the church, goes to the lady and said, ma'am, can I help you? She said, no, I'm good. She said, I'm just playing Pokemon. And Brother Gibson said, well, we'd like to invite you to church. We have church and stuff. She said, no, I'm not interested. I'm playing Pokemon. And Brother Gibson said, well, around here we think Pokemon's out of hell. I don't know why that came out, but that's what came out. You just got to know Brother Gibson with his zeal, you know. Listen, you know what that woman said? It hurts me to even say it. She said, yeah, I know you people. She said, that preacher and those people in that church are probably just like all those other preachers. They're just a bunch of pedophiles. That's what that woman said. You know why? Because they'd heard story after story. They heard of some pastor leaving his wife. They heard of this. They heard of some Christian that was indecent or wicked in their daily life. Look, can I tell you something, church? We, many times, God's people, are the best commercial that the devil ever had. Now you say, preacher, we can't do anything about it. We can't do anything. I didn't feel bad about that. It didn't destroy me. But you know what it made me do? It made me say in my own heart, it's time to make sure that we're all clean. It's time for the world to see a clean preacher
and a clean Christian mom and a clean Christian dad and some clean Christian young people so they don't just say, "Ah, there's nothing to all of that." Because if there's ever been a time the world needs our witness, it's right now. And we cannot afford to marginalize ourselves by not living like Jesus wants us to live. Yes. Giving none offense that the ministry be not blamed. So that when we knock on the door in our county, when we hold a sign and they may not like what we're doing, they may not like our gospel, they may not like our lifestyle, but they ought not be able to condemn the ministry we're trying to do because our lives don't measure up to our words. It's time to get right with God. That the ministry be not blamed. Would you bow your head with me? Our heads are bowed. Would you stand with me, please? Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I pray if there's someone here that's not saved, I pray they would get saved right now. What a blessing it was to hear that young mother that walked the aisle and trusted Christ this past week with Brother Shock in that meeting. And Lord, there may be someone here this morning that needs to be saved. Maybe somebody listening through the live stream that's not saved. I pray, God, you'd help them to fall on their knees before God and receive Christ and open up their heart and call out to that one that can save their soul and run to them and be their deliverer. Lord, I pray this morning that you would help your people that may be here this day that are just fiddling their thumbs and just going through life and you're getting nothing from their life. I pray now, right now, they would dedicate and consecrate and commit themselves to you. And then, Father, help us all to determine in our hearts down deep that we shall all live the life of Jesus Christ right now. That the ministry be not blamed. And we'll thank you for what you do in our hearts in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed. The invitation at hymn's being played. People are already coming to pray. Amen. God bless you. God spoke to your heart. You obey the Lord. You obey the Lord. You say, "Well, I can go a different day." No, you go right now. You do what God wants you to do right now. Quit telling God later. That's this whole message. If you're not saved here this morning, I'm down front with my Bible. We'll take that Bible. We'll show you how to trust Jesus today. If you need salvation, won't you come now, right now? Step right up here, look right in my eyeballs, and we'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. And Christian, if you ever wanted to do something for God, won't you take a step out of your seat as well or get on your knees and say, "Lord, help me, help me, help my unbelief. Get out all out of my life, whatever you want before I leave this world. I give it to you right now. I give you all that I am right now. I don't want to wait. I don't want to delay. I don't want to waste my life." Maybe you need to get clean this morning. We've sung a lot of songs today. Christians get dirty like everybody else, but let's get cleaned up. Let's get cleaned up now, not later, not till we get more dirty, more defiled. Get clean right now. Let God wash you. Cleanse your heart. Cleanse your life. Make you the example to the world of what a Christian is, of who Jesus is. There's enough bad examples. Oh God, give us an army in this church. That's an example of true holiness and righteousness and of Jesus to the world. Do it now, Lord, not later. He'll run to you. I'm telling you, He'll run to you. What a joy we get to work with God. Somebody this morning probably needs to leave your job. And I'm not talking about your physical job. I'm talking about your mentality. What you think your job in life is. And leave that and join God's company. Put your hand in His hand and get to work with God. Get to work with God. Mom and Dad, are you listening to me? Get to work with God about your children. You know, I believe God's working in some children in this church, but He needs mom and dad to work with Him. We need husbands and wives to work together with God. All that will yield ourselves and not waste time. Because now is the accepted time. We have no tomorrows. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the Word of God. We thank You for the Spirit of God that brings the truth alive to our hearts and minds. Lord, I pray You would bless Your people. As we leave here as saints of God that know You as our Father and Savior, Jesus, we pray You'd help us to bear that good news and that good life to the world. And Lord, we ask that You would help us to find those sinners that are running out of time, just like that Romanian young man. We know not, Lord, when the bell is going to toll for so many people. Help us, God. Bring us across their paths that we can give them the gospel. And Lord, we'll thank You and praise You in these last days for helping us do what we need to do now. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Dismissed. Hope to see you tonight at 5. Please refrain from hugging and shaking. Just say, see you. God bless you. Have a good afternoon.